living in truth, and what that means for us today. So we have a lot of things happening in our world, a lot of things that are changing, a lot of things to be worried about. We don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. We don't know what next week is going to hold. We don't know what's going to happen next year. So what does it mean to live in truth? What does it mean to hold on to truth during this time? So I have just a few verses to start us off with. The first one is one of my favorite verses. This is the first chapter of John, John 1:14. This is talking about Jesus being the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so Jesus, when he came to earth, he was full of grace and truth. And so we want to see what grace looks like. We want to see what truth looks like. We look at who Jesus was and we looked at what he did. So he's the model for us. And as we are followers of Jesus, we hold on to, we want to be like him. So we want to be full of grace and truth. And so we talk about living in truth. It's following that model of Jesus. And if we look at another one, this is also in the Gospel of John, John 8. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And you've probably seen this verse before, and it gets misquoted a lot, in that any sort of truth is going to set you free. But Jesus is talking about a very specific truth here. That's a truth about who he is. That's a truth about salvation. And we know that because if we continue with the next verses, he explains that. They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son set you free, you'll be free indeed." And so freedom and the truth that sets you free is the truth of who Jesus is, that Jesus is a Savior. He came to suffer and die for us, and that when we believe in him, then we're free from sin. So it's not just that any old truth sets us free. It's the truth of who Jesus is. That's what sets us free. That's what sets us apart. That's what allows us to be with him. And so during this time, a time of pandemic, a time of crisis, a time of understanding and trying to figure out what does my next chapter hold? And maybe there's question marks as to what's going to happen with school, what's going to happen to your kids' school, what's going to happen to your job, how are you going to be able to pay the bills the next few months, what's going to happen with different things from the government that may be able to assist you, what's going to happen with church, when are we going to be able to meet again, when are we going to be able to do this again? There's so many questions, and we just don't know. We just don't know what the future is going to hold. And so human nature is that desire to know. And so think about you're watching something on Netflix, and it gets to the end of the episode, and then there's that cliffhanger ending that you just have to, you just what's happening? So someone sees something, you don't see what they was, and they had a big reaction, like, what did they see? Or there's some sort of gunshot that went off. Who got shot? And so then you have to start. And of course, Netflix just kind of starts playing. So you're like, I have to know what happens next. There's this human nature of like, we want to know what happens, and it happens in books and all these different things. We want to know what happens next. And right now we're at this point, where we don't know what happens next. And that can kind of gnaw at us. And that can kind of drive us to try and find any answers we can. And so we kind of grasp at anything. And so when we don't know, and a lot of times the experts don't know. So some of the key leaders and the key experts say, we don't know yet because we haven't tested it, or we need more data, or we need more of this. Even they don't know. And so at that point, we start kind of latching on to maybe anything or anyone who is saying something, because we're just kind of, we want that information. And so we can kind of grasp onto that. But we want to be careful that we're living in truth in this time. That one of the biggest motivators for humanity is fear. And advertisers know that, and that's why there's a lot of things that try and motivate you by fear. Fear that something's going to happen if you don't act, or this is what's going to happen if you vote for so-and-so or do this sort of thing. And right now, there's probably people who want to take advantage of your fear. And we don't want to be doing that. We want to be living in truth. We want to be living in what God has for us. And so right now, we're kind of living in this moment where we can rest on the foundation of who God is. We can be firm in that and say, you want to know what? I don't know what everything is going to happen. I don't know what next week is going to look like. I don't know what's going to happen with this and this, but I know that God's there and I know that he's with me. And we can rest in that, or we can kind of allow our fear and anxiety and some of those things that kind of run rampant and allow us to kind of feed on that. We kind of feed on all the news cycles and the latest numbers, the latest conspiracy theories, and the latest this or that. We can get wrapped up in all of that. So I have a video to show that kind of puts this all together for us of what that looks like and what we're feeding ourselves with the Bible, or are we feeding ourselves with fear and anxiety?
In Matthew chapter 6, it says, who by worrying can add to their life?
Pandemic.
Do not worry about tomorrow. Pagans run after these things.
National emergency.
Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
My sheets are melting so fast.
They dismiss a lot.
An interesting fact about humanity is that whatever you feed grows.
A financial pandemic.
If you feed your faith, it grows. If you feed your fears, they grow.
It's all spiraled very quickly.
It's going to get worse.
Some have to live and some have to die.
Realize that our time is better spent talking to the Father than getting all worked up and reading and feeding our minds with the news and the media about what everybody is saying about how this is doom and gloom and how money, which we have hoped in, is lost. Hope not in money. Hope in your Father, your God, Jesus Christ, your Savior. Have your faith and use it. Walk according to it. Whatever you feed grows. This is the time to press into the church, lean into the church, to be surrounded by God's people. We can offer prayers for one another. We can offer hope to one another. We can speak words of truth to one another. If you feast on the word of God and you renew your minds around the truth, your faith, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But if you go to the news and you read article after article after quote after talking head and you continue to feed those fears, they grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger. Whatever you feed grows. Today, did you wake up this morning and feast on the Word of God and go to Him in prayer? Or did you feed your fears?
So that video is just, it's just a quick question. And how, what are we feeding ourselves with? Are we focusing on the Lord? Are we focusing on how we can be growing spiritually? Or are our fears kind of like allowing us and kind of forcing us, I gotta know more. I gotta read this next thing. I gotta try and follow this or follow that, which is just this spiraling effect of causing more fear, more anxiety, and then we want more and more. And so it's a good question for us. And it's not a question of, you know, staying informed. Obviously we should stay informed, but it's a question of, what's the fruit? Where is it leading you? And what sort of emotions are happening there? Are you allowing this time to be a time where we can be building upon our faith? We can be there for one another? Are we allowing this time to be a time where we're being kind of beaten down or that kind of just worry and fear and anxiety is kind of grabbing hold of us? And it's something that we can be looking at and seeing, how are my actions contributing to that? And so for us, how do we live? How do we live right now? What does it mean to live in truth right now? So that's what we want to cover in this. And so the first part of that is that we put our focus on God first. So in anything, when we talk about what it means to live in truth, that means we put our focus on God first. We already covered some verses about where's the truth? The truth is Jesus. He lived that out. It's the truth about Jesus that sets us free from sin. It's that salvation. That's what sets us free, and that's the truth we can be focusing on. And so in the midst of all of this, when we try and figure out what's the truth, well, focus on God first. That allows us to have this firm foundation. Because we can trust in God. That's number one. That doesn't fail us. And so whenever we want to kind of live in truth, we want to start with the foundation, which is the Lord. It's a rock that isn't going to be shifting back and forth. It isn't going to be changing news stories. It isn't going to be changing theories. It isn't going to be changing this or that. It's we focus on God because it's a rock for us. And we can do that together. So let's look at a few verses on that. And this is 2 Timothy chapter 3. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so we have the scripture, we have the Bible, and it's breathed out by God, it's communicated by God, and it's useful for us and for teaching. So we understand, how should I be living? What should I be doing? What should I be believing? And then if we're thinking the wrong thing, or we're heading down the wrong path, the scriptures correct us. So that if we are thinking the wrong thing, or we're doing the wrong thing, we should be able to read the scriptures and say, oh, I was wrong. There's correction there that moves us to the right spot. And you see there that when we do that, we get to be complete. That brings us wholeness in that. And then we're equipped. We're equipped for good works when we do that, because we're focused and have that foundation on scripture, what God has for us. Then we get to build upon that in good work. Let's look at another one, because that scripture is one part of being focused on God. The other is this. This is Jesus talking in the Gospel of John, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. And so when we talk about focusing on God, we focus on the scripture and we focus on the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is going to lead and guide us into the truth. And he will, the Holy Spirit will kind of tell us and lead us to the things that are to come, the things that we want to know about, what happens in the future. Rely on the Holy Spirit to give you insight and clarity for that. And so it's not a coincidence that when you look at everything we're doing right now at Trinity Vineyard with all our Zoom calls and things that are happening, most of that is focused on those two things, focusing on scripture, and then how can we interact with the Holy Spirit. And so already today, we had a time of worship, or hopefully through praise and worship, you're praising God, and hopefully you're feeling the Holy Spirit in that. You're being connected to the Holy Spirit in that. And then we have a time of a sermon where Dan and I are very focused that when we're preaching from the Word. It isn't just, hey, I've got some good opinions that I want to share. It's here's what the Bible says, and here's how we live it out. That's something that Dan and I are very focused on, to make sure that what we're saying is focused. This is focused and has a foundation in Scripture, that we're revealing the Scripture. That's what we want to be doing. And then we look at some of the things we do during the week. So we have a time of prayer, a prayer meeting where we can pray for one another, hopefully being led by the Spirit in those prayers. And we have time of Bible study where we look at passages of Scripture and we say, what does this mean? How do we live this out? What are some insights we're gathering from that? And then we have the call with the Psalms, where again, we're allowing the scriptures to lead and guide us and be connected to that. So all those different things are ways that we're trying to first put our focus on God. And hopefully those are different avenues, and hopefully you can take advantage of some of those, so that whatever you're feeling, you can say, let me focus on God, because then that's going to lead to fruit. That's going to lead to where you want to be mentally and spiritually. When you focus on God first, it gives you the right kind of goggles to kind of view the rest of the world. It changes your worldview to have a foundation in God first, and then you see everything else in context. That's number one. So focus on God is number one. And the next one is filter and discern. And so for each one of us, when we're seeing things on the news, when we're reading articles, when we see things on social media, or we hear someone else share things, part of our job is we have to filter and discern some of those things. So not everything that we read is going to be helpful for us. Not everything that we're seeing in all those things is going to be true or be leading us to the right spot. And so we focus on God first. And then when we understand and we view some of these things, we filter and discern. So we filter out, you know, some of this stuff might not be accurate, may not be right, may not be helpful for us. Filter that out. And then we have to do a job of discerning and saying, what is the truth? And how can I live in that? And so we do that. We have to filter out what's wrong. We have to discern what's right. And based on these facts, what does that mean for me? How should I be reacting? And how should I be, you know, making decisions based on that? So we have to filter and discern. That's very important for us. So let's look at just a few Bible verses that kind of highlight that action of kind of filtering and discerning. And so this is Philippians chapter 1. It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And so here, it's the prayer for the church is love abounding, and then knowledge and all discernment. So having the right information and knowing what to do with it. So having knowledge and discernment. And this is what it leads to, so that you can approve what is excellent. And so you know the right thing because you have knowledge, you have the right information, and then you have discernment kind of what's so that you may approve what is excellent, and then you get to be pure and blameless in the day of Christ because you're living the way that you're supposed to. So that was kind of the prayer Paul for the church of Philippi. And that's kind of a prayer for us too. That we can be abounding in love. Let's have that happen. That's what we'll talk about next week. But then knowledge and discernment, so that we know this is the excellent thing, this is the right thing, this is the righteous thing. And then because of that, we get to live lives pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Next one, 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And this one's about testing and discerning of spirits, where if you're hearing something and you think this is from a spiritual realm, well, is it from God? And that's part of our process, that we discern those things. And so this one's talking about kind of discerning the spirits. That same principle applies for anything else that we're seeing or hearing. We discern that. Is this helpful? Is this leading me to righteousness? Is this good information? Is this bad information? So we discern that. The same way we would discern spirits, we get to discern the information that we're getting. And is it true? And is it helpful for us? And then James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it'll be given to him. So if you feel like you're in this, you're like, I need more wisdom in this. I need help to do this. God's there to help you. So that's an important part, that in this, we're not alone. We talked about relying on the Holy Spirit. God's there to help us, lead and help us in that. So as we go through this, I want to focus on just a few different things that you should be thinking about as you're kind of consuming media, as you're looking on social media, seeing the news, reading articles, talking to friends. What can be helpful for us is just to do a few different things as we're kind of doing that filter and discern. And so when someone says something, and maybe this is, you know, part of the news or what they think about what's happening, sometimes it can be helpful just to take a minute to kind of think that through and kind of think that through logically. So what does that mean? Does that make sense from beginning to end? Would that person actually have that motivation or would it happen that way? So sometimes what's helpful for us is just to take a second and to pause and to say, what's probably the more likely scenario? And so we have the example of what happened this morning. Okay, so Zoom isn't working right. And so I think someone joked, you know, like, yeah, this is, you know, they don't like churches or something like that. And so we could say something like that, but that's probably not true if we spend the time thinking about it. Okay, no, Zoom probably just did their updates. They usually do that on weekends probably, and they made a mistake. Obviously, Zoom doesn't want their platform not working correctly. That reflects poorly on them. So what's more likely is that there was an issue, there was a mistake on their side, not that somehow Zoom is against churches. So it's things like that we can just pause and think and go, yeah, probably not the right thing. And that allows us to kind of discern right off the future, right off like the bat when we're kind of looking at that. And then another thing we can do is look at who's communicating this information? Where am I getting it from? And how are they presenting it? Are they presenting it in a one-sided way? Or I'm just hearing one side, I'm not hearing kind of both sides of it, I'm not hearing the argument from the other side? Or are they presenting things without kind of additional information? So are there people that they're quoting that they don't say who they are or what their expertise is or why you should care about their opinion? Or are they not like sorting their sizes, citing their sources, saying here's where I got this from? So just be careful and look for red flags as you're going through. Because these are important things to see. All right, is this true? And it takes us a little bit more kind of diving in. And maybe you've probably all seen this where you see a headline and you think, wow, that's kind of unbelievable. I didn't think that actually happened. And then you get to the body of the article and it totally refutes what the headline said about it. So sometimes headlines can be misleading. We have to actually read the article. And sometimes you read the article, but if you actually go to their source said something different. So we can kind of use those methods of kind of just taking an extra step and thinking it through. What are the sources here? Where are they getting this information? Is there a certain bias depending on where that source is coming from, what they care about, where the article or news source is coming from? They have a certain slant or bias that they're trying to have that. So you have to look at all these different things to discern what's the truth. And then also be careful that sometimes you'll have these people to say, everyone else is wrong. I'm the one person who knows the truth. Let me tell you about it. And that can be a red flag for us, that if you're just one person knows the truth, that can be a concerning thing, because they feel like they know better than everyone else. And there may be some investigative journalist who knows something first and might be the first to break those stories. But that's just always a red flag for us when it's one person who knows the truth and no one else necessarily is reporting that or knows that. So those are just a few things that as we go through our life today, people are going to try and manipulate you. People are going to try to maybe lead you astray. And it's important for us to try and stick to the truth. And of course, the number one thing is we stick to God first. We focus on God first. So that we're not swayed as much when we see these things coming across our timelines. And one of the things also for us is look at kind of before you start sharing things. And so if you think about, you know, what we're supposed to be as followers of Jesus, we're supposed to be evangelists. And that's an evangelist of who Jesus is. And that is an evangelist of Jesus as a savior and hope and love and compassion and forgiveness. That's the message of Christianity. That's the message that we should be sharing with the world, is that of Jesus. So we want to be really careful before we start sharing something else. So when we're sharing articles or we're sharing news, we want to make sure it's the truth. So that's something we want to be careful about, that we're not sharing something that could be wrong or misleading or harmful for other people. Because we want to be people who are sharing the gospel and be focused on that. And if we start sharing other things that could be harmful, we're kind of moving us away from what we want to be sharing with the world. So be careful about that, because things now, depending on your sources, depending on where you're getting information, that may lead to actions. And those actions may impact people in your community, may impact your family. It can have big implications on what we're doing as a society. So we have to be really careful when we're doing that. And that's important, because we want to make sure that we are leading people to Jesus and not leading to people to fear or more anxiety or the wrong information that may lead to the wrong actions. We got to be careful about that. And the other thing for us is, where's the fruit? We have to be thinking about that. So what's the fruit of what you're seeing? What's the fruit of what you're acting? Like, what does that happen to you? So what's the fruit? And so what I mean by that is, are you gathering information? Are you getting, you know, sources and the news? And is that building you up because now you have information to help other people? Or is it leading to more fear and anxiety? Is it leading to dismay? Is it leading to a place where you feel where you can be helpful, or a place where it's you're kind of hurting yourself in the process? And so where's the fruit in that? So you gotta be careful as you're doing that. What's the reaction that you're having? And then again, think before you share. If you're sharing something, is that going to be something that's going to be beneficial to people? Is it something that's going to be helpful for people? Is it going to lead people to greater understanding? And is it going to lead people to Jesus? So we're going to be thinking about those things and the fruit for us, because we want the fruit to be people are understanding who Jesus is and moving people in that direction. And we want people to have more love and compassion and hope and faith right now, not more fear and anxiety, not kind of dismayed about the future. We want people to understand there's a God who's there for them. And all of these things are just part of living in truth. And that's really the goal of this time. We want to be living in truth. And so we focus on God first. And so take advantage of what we're doing throughout our congregation and everything else. There's other churches that are sharing great things right now. Find the truth and focus on who God is. Have this be an opportunity where you're feeding that. You're feeding more faith right now, where you feel your faith grow right now. And then be careful. Be careful about anything that's misleading, anything that's leading us to the wrong path. We want to be focusing and leading people in the right way, not the wrong way. And so be careful about that and live in truth and allow this time to be a time where we're doing great evangelism, because we are a source of hope for people. We're a source where we're bringing people along. And we're making them feel better about what's going on, because they can have hope. There's a lot of hopeless people right now because they don't know what's going to happen. And they need hope. And that, again, goes back to that very first, one of the first verses I read, is that the truth sets you free. And so there's hope for people who need salvation. And that's what we can be bringing to people. And that's what it is to be living in truth. So let me pray for us that we can do that. We can be people who live in truth. Lord, I just pray that each and every one of us would just have your wisdom and discernment as we go through this time. Allow us to live in truth. Allow us to know how to filter and discern what we're seeing and hearing, and allow us to be really careful about what we're sharing so that we're leading people to more faith and we're leading people to Jesus. And Lord, allow us, you to be a foundation for us, that we're focused on who you are. That's important that we do that, that we have that foundation, that we're focused on you, and that allows us to not be moved and pushed away kind of the whims of what's the latest news cycle. Allow us to stick to you and allow us to just be feeding our faith so that we grow and we feel like we're bigger and we're bolder and we have more faith because we're focused on you. Lord, I just pray against anybody who's going to be kind of trying to lead us away. Lord, allow us to be protected from that we stick to the truth. And Lord, allow us to time and time again to use your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. So we just ask you to just fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Give us your hope that is overflowing within us and hope that we can bring to other people. Lord, we just want to see more and more of you. So allow us to be your church and to be sharing your good news today. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.